Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCEC Bylaws meeting on the 9th of May 2017 at 1200 UTC. On the call today, we have Bazani Badi, Tatiana Tropina, Renata Aquino Rivero, Rafik Damak, Michael Karonikolas, and from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. But I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Bazani.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for attending the second meeting of our bylaws revision after the staff commented on the bylaws. I'm happy to see the full house here and happy that Rafik has joined us so we can also benefit from his comments. So what we are going, I'm going to give a little bit of background, especially since this is Michael's first meeting, which kind of coincided with our bylaws meeting. So Michael, we are going through, after we had the bylaws voted on with the with our members, we submitted it to ICANN staff, and ICANN staff had commented quite extensively on the bylaws. And now we are trying to respond and resolve these comments. And then after we have responded and resolved these comments, then we are going to send it to the board, and the board is going to have a look at it. It normally takes around, I have heard, 5 months to respond to us, and then it has to go to a public comment, I believe. I think that is the process, and then we are gonna have a vote again on the bylaws. And this is not a set process, so I might be saying something that we won't do in the future. But this is how it was, I perceived it to happen. So we need to have the board and then public comments and then have another vote on the bylaws. So we probably adopt the bylaws by December of this year, hopefully. So, and let's go to, for now, we have had one meeting until, and we have resolved issues and commented until page 7. Until page 7 and section 4. But before we go to section 4 on executive committee, I want to draw your attention to the paragraph above that, which is paragraph J. So in paragraph J, Tatiana has made some comment, like some amendments based on the comments of the ICANN staff, and then I have also in the previous paragraph stated like a time limit because they asked us to state a time limit for disclosure of financial support. So I stated that we need to have 3 months, within 3 months of having been granted financial support, they need to disclose it. So these are like really minor issues. And unfortunately, Tatiana cannot talk now, so I would have asked her what sort of changes we have made to this paragraph J. But we will start from now from section 4 on executive committee.
I can talk. I'm on the phone bridge just for the future. Can go to this later. We can go to this later. Let's start with the executive committee.
Okay, sure. Great. Thanks, Tatiana. So for the executive committee, as you can see, like there was this, Ken had suggested that we move something from other sections we added to this section. So that has been done by Ines. So that's why you see this add paragraph C. And fortunately, there are no other comments on this page until page 8. The first comment is that soliciting nominations from constituency members and representatives to be elected by the EC to fill positions that open from time to time in the ICAM process. Ken says that we should not say in the ICAM process. I think we should say in the ICAM process because we want to specify where these positions are available. Do you see that as an unnecessary addition? I think this is like quite a minor comment. We don't have to accept it. We don't have to reject it either. Yeah, so let's not accept this change. So I'm just gonna not accept it. Okay, I just rejected that. And then, so we come to paragraph 12, providing oversight of the policy committee's process and good communication with the constituency members. So Ken is wondering what good communication is. And I have argued that we will define and clarify all these things in our procedural rules. What is good communication, what we mean by these things, because this is our charter. It sets our principles. It doesn't have to set like details. yes. Of course, yes, Rafik, it is a bad communication. So I suggest that we just, if Mariam, can you make a note of, can you make a note of putting, of focusing on procedural rules of this paragraph? I'm going to just copy paste it in the private chat for you. Okay. Now, let's go to paragraph 13, managing communication to the constituency and announce mailing list. What is the comment in here? So, again, Chen is saying, what does managing communication mean? And I think managing communication is quite clear for those who manage communication on the mailing list, like moderating the responses, if there is moderating to be done, and all sorts of things, which I don't think we need to put in our bylaws. So we will have in our procedural rules, let's have a section on communication, and then we just describe everything. Yeah, that is true. As Rafik pointed out, we can just list them with what we can't be exhaustive on what managing communication. So as we agreed, I'm going to put this on the procedural rule for us. So now the other comment is whenever EC votes are required. Oh, so he has a so Ken Ken is arguing that constituency is sometimes small letter, sometimes capital letter, and it should be consistent. I think we've been using it as like a capital C all the time, like most of the time. So we just stick with capital C. I'm going to resolve this comment. All right. Another is the in the event of a tie vote on the EC, the chair shall act as tiebreaker. Hence, says the provision should be moved above C, indicating that the chair is a non-voting member of the EC. However, in the event of, so Ken is arguing that this is, this has to be on the C. And let me see what the C is. Okay, so C now is our D. If you go up on page 7, so Ken is saying that we need to move this in the event of a tie vote on paragraph 14. We need to move it to now paragraph D. So Rafiq thinks that it should be under the chair's duty section. Yeah. That is okay. That is what Ken. So Ken is okay. What is Ken suggesting? Well, we have this under that under the chair. Oh yeah. So they're saying he's saying that if we are saying that that the chair is non-voting, we have to clarify that. But in the event of a tie, the chair can break the tie, which is fine, right? Yes. So this is what Ken is saying. He's saying that if we are saying that the chair is non-voting, then right then, we have to clarify that if there is a tie, the chair will break the tie. So, I think this is an okay addition. I just have to find the section because it's now all messed up. And see where I should put it. Where did this say? Okay, non-voting. Okay, so I can't find it right now, which is kind of.
Arzana, sorry for interrupting. Tatiana Tropina speaking for the record. Rafiq and I are wondering, since when is the chair a non-voting member? Because this is very strange. So you mean the chair is not voting at all? I mean...
Well, it is in our bylaws that the chair is a non-voting member.
Which paragraph?
So it is... Let me see. Has been in our bylaws that the chair comes in when there is a tie in the vote. And I had seen it before, but I don't know why I can't see it now. So Rafiq, you know better here, but I do think that we had a provision that chair is a non-voting member of the EC.
The search for the word non-voting shows only one non-voting, and it's about NCSG Executive Committee.
Yeah, I have seen that, but I am kind of 90% sure I have seen such provision that says that the chair does not vote. Okay, as an original who attend blah blah blah. Maybe it's in the chairs. Okay, let me look at the I have to look at the previous bylaws and our current bylaws. And then I'm going to get back to you on this. For the moment, let's not touch this issue and then go to regional EC representative. I will discuss that on the EC list with you. So, regional EC representative shall be elected on an annual basis by constituency members. And then cancel that methodologies of voting should be specified. So he doesn't want us to have an online vote here and we just specify it in voting section. I think this is an unnecessary change. Yes, but yeah, we can just delete this. But we have explained it. What I don't want to do is to explain again in section 5 about voting, because we have explained it already. So, okay, I'm just going to delete it then. Okay. Now, so we go to paragraph 3. EC representative shall consist only of individual members or individuals designated by organization. So Ken is suggesting to delete individuals and say shall consist only of individual members or designated official representatives of organizational members. I think this is a fine change.
Farzi, sorry, this is Tatiana. I'm not okay with this change. Designated official representatives, right? No, then it's okay. Then it's okay because I thought that he also deleted the word designated. No, then I'm okay. Sorry.
Okay. Let's just accept this then. Renata, Michael, all good with this? Let me just share the document again with you. All right, so we accept this change. And then I just accepted it. Gosh, this is going to take forever. Forever we are going to be doing bylaws. So, Ken here, have a look. Ken here has removed constituency as well. So I'm still talking about paragraph 3 under regional EC representative. Shall consist only of individual members or designated official representatives of organizational members. He has removed to the constituency. Which I think grammatically makes sense, but do you want a constituency to be there or not?
Doesn't make much difference in my opinion, Tatiana. We can delete.
Let's do that. Right, I did that. Oh gosh, that feels good. Okay, so here on paragraph 4, this is a very sensitive issue. No two EC members may be the employees of the same organization or be representatives to the NCUC of different national chapters of the same organization. So now Ken is saying the term chapter occurs several times within the charter However, it should be explained so that its meaning and interpretation are clear. Do all NCUC organizations have chapters? Now, I tell you why the word chapter is being used in the bylaws. It's because that Rafiq can also add to what I'm saying. He has better historical knowledge. This is because the various ISAC chapters became NCUC members, and in order to prevent various chapters just become get the leadership roles in NCUC, they have called out on chapters as well, and have been specific that people from different national chapters of the same organization cannot become that cannot hold office at the same time at NCUC. So this is why we have the word chapter. They actually had in mind ISAC chapters. Now I think sub entities is good. The national also doesn't make any sense, Renata. If someone doesn't know the reasoning behind this, it's kind of very it's obscure to them. Tatiana, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we cannot, make ISOC renaming the structure, but I also believe that if we compare language-wise or whatever, if we call these sub-entities of ISOC, are they really sub-entities of ISOC? I mean, legally, I'm not sure, that this will prevent ISOC NCUC from ISOC takeover, because I'm really not sure that they are sub-entities of ISOC, because legally they are not, but they are chapters. They are legally incorporated or organized on the national level, you know what I mean? And they're just chapters. They are not really sub-entities. And this what really worries me. What we can tell, Ken, is that actually it's not our fault that some of the technical community and civil society organizations call themselves chapters, and we cannot call them regional divisions, sub-branches or whatever. But to please him, we can also insert national chapters or other sub-entities, or sub-entities or national chapters. But I'm seriously not sure that the ISOC chapters are sub-entities in this sense. Seriously, I'm sorry for that.
Well, the thing is that we are not really clear on the legal nature of these chapters. So they can just argue, oh, we are not a sub-entity. We are some kind of fully-fledged organizations and stuff like that. So I think Renata's hand is up. So we have one option is to just explain to Ken, look, there are these national chapters of ISOC that we had in mind, and we wanted to be specific about it in the bylaws. It has this historical reason. And Renata, or there's the other option to come up with another term which includes these ISOC chapters, but it's very complicated. Renata, your hand's up. Oh, Renata, your hand is not up. So let's see. Let's say chapters and sub-entities. Okay. And sub-entities. Okay. Well, I hope after this meeting, Michael doesn't get so bored that resigns from North America position. Okay. Right. Okay. Right, let's move on. We are doing well.
No, for this, sorry, let Renata speak. She has her hand up.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. I didn't see that, Renata. Go ahead. Renata, we can't hear you. So, Renata, you have some audio issue, or is it me? No, it seems like no one can hear you. Okay, so, okay, Rafik is, says related sub-entities. Do we add related? But then you should, let me read the sentence for you. It's paragraph 4 under Section E, regional EC representative. No two EC members may be the employees of the same organization or be representatives to the NCUC of different national chapters and sub-entities of the same organization. It's written badly, but this is how it is. Or other sub-entities of the same organization. Okay. Yeah, I think other clarifies things. Okay. So, Renata, maybe Mariam can help with you with the audio issue. And then as soon as you're done, just don't raise your hand. Just come and take the mic. Okay. So now we have this. No two EC members may be the employees of the same organization or be representatives to the NCUC of different national chapters or other sub-entities of the same organization. It's better. So you are saying that we should say related sub-entities. Sub-entities. Other related sub-entities. But when we say sub-entities of the same organization, it means they're related, yeah? Or related, or other related. Okay.
For the name, yeah. So I think we actually have a choice now. So either other sub-entities or other related entities. Actually, you know, sub-entities sounds good because they're part of organization. Related entities could be affiliates and whatever. So I'm wondering. I like the related entities. I'm just wondering how wide the coverage would be.
Yeah, that is what worries me. I'm worried about the coverage and people thinking that, and then they are going to challenge. They might be challenged while they're not really related to that organization if we have a phrasing that is too broad. So. Okay, let's think a little bit. So, national chapters or other sub-entities of the same organization. So we have the same organization here and we have the sub-entities. So we are kind of like excluding others. I think that's quite okay. I think we could put other related sub-entities. You want. All right. let's keep it that this way until Renata can come up and tell us what she thinks. Renata, are you working on your voice issue? Oh, okay. Okay, so I suggest that we keep it like or other sub-entities of the same organization. And then we could decide to add related.
Tatiana is speaking. I think other related sub-entities is okay as well. But if we remove sub, then just related sub-entities, it's a wee bit too broad for me, because they can be related in different way and not necessarily, you know, in terms of organizational structure. And then it's the question of affiliates, you know, all this, and it's just unnecessary broad. So we can just say other related sub-entities. If there are any other lawyers, maybe they will correct me, but for me, it's a wee bit too broad. No, it's much broader than I think the intention is, if we remove sub. So only other related sub-entities or other sub-entities.
Yeah, well, the thing is that if we say related entities to that to the same organization, what do we even mean? But Renata is raising the point that some won't agree they are sub-entities, so we need to have a definition of sub-entity. So how about we define what sub-entity is in our procedural operational rules?
Farzana, what about other structural entities of the same organization?
Other structure? Structural entities. Okay. 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 Let's do this. Okay. Other structure.
In this sense, another suggestion about related entities makes a lot of sense. If they will argue they're not sub-entities, but we can always argue that they're related entities. So Renata is right in this sense, absolutely. I'm just a bit lost here. So are they related or structured? Probably sub-entities.
Okay, well,
we can leave it for a while and define.
Yeah, we are actually making this broader than it should be. We are saying here that the two EC members no two EC members should be the employees of the same organization or be representatives to the NCUC of different national chapters of the same organization. I think this was there without having sub entities. Do we really need sub entities? Do we need to make it broader? We are saying already that employees of the same organizations cannot become.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I mean, it's just, well, Article 19 and Article 19 Mexico, is it the same organization or not, for example?
Okay, so yeah, that is an issue.
I'm just wondering, Article 19 Mexico wouldn't be the national chapter, you know, because they're not chapter. But they are they the same organization or are they structural sub-entities?
Rafik wants to make it first.
Okay, thanks, Farzi. I think maybe, guys, we should kind of get it backward. We are talking here about the case of a situation that two employee or representative from the same organization or related organization to be in EC, which is in fact quite rare. So I understand we should not let it too broad, and also we cannot be really specific and go in the different cases. So for example, about Article 19, someone raised the issue before. They are a separate organization because each of these, they are not kind of chapter. They have their own board and so on. So they they probably even act, kind of operate independently. But what we need as a language is to avoid a situation that what we can perceive that two representatives coming from the same structure, and that's it, which is, I mean, maybe the same organization. I think the language covers that well. But also the situation that we thought before, like the ISOC chapters. But, I mean, just we need to find the medium, the common ground here and middle ground here, and to not really go into a specific language. I'm really fine with national chapters, maybe even striking national chapters to not be that specific, just chapters, and we can interpret that in different way, depending to the case, and other sub-entities. I understand the concern about entities and what does it mean, and to avoid situation, if we add that the word related to CAD can even really broad. I want to remind that it's really about just the case. We want to avoid situation that two members are coming from the same structure, whatever. However, I mean, whatever is it, it's organized. That's it. So.
Okay. So we could get rid of national chapters and be interrogated by the veterans of NCUC. But that will give like a good leeway of interpretation of the charter, what we mean by the same organization, and we can interpret it. But then because it leaves us open to interpretation, then some might not be very happy about it. Okay, so Michael is saying, to me, Rafiki, it with the word structure, to me it's about making sure two reps aren't answering in the same hierarchy to prevent domination. But if the orgs are fully independent, I wouldn't see an issue. So that is one point. The other point is that, so that is only if we keep these national chapters in, because I think that national chapters are national chapters are not representatives of ISOC as an organization. I think they are different structures. So so what do we do? What do you suggest? We could talk about structure. We could put the word structure in there. Or we could be just broad and just have the national chapters in there and then interpret organization and organizations and those affiliated with those organizations and their situation later on by interpreting the bylaws. So, okay. Okay, so Michael has suggested something. No two EC members may be the employees of the same organization will be represented to the NCUC of different national chapters or other sub-entities of the same organization. If these chapters or sub-entities are answerable to a common hierarchy. Okay, so I don't think this even covers chapters of ISOC chapters because, yeah. So it is. This sounds a bit complicated. Let me. I actually can talk to a couple of NCUC founders, and we can discuss it on the EC list. And see what we can do, because I don't think we can come up with a solution now. But thanks very much for the suggestions and everything. So let's go to the next page. Mariam, can we have an action item on I'm going to send you the action item. Okay. Now, responsibilities of the regional representative. Recruiting new members from the regions and periodically report their activities to the members. I made a change here to make it more clear because Ken said that meaning is unclear. So it was before it was periodically reporting to them, I added periodically report their activities to the members so that it is so that it is clear. Is that good? I think it's pretty good. Let's go to the second paragraph if there are no. And if you're raising your hand and you see that I don't call on you, just come and interrupt because I'm on the Google Doc. I can't see the Adobe room much. So the second paragraph. Working with new and current members from their region to help them understand the structure of ICANN and encourage them to participate. So instead of saying, so Ken wants us to add encourage, the phrase encourage, to this sentence. So understand the structure of ICANN and encourage them to participate. It's okay. It's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Hi, Fazi, can you listen to me now?
Hey, yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. On the phone then. Go on.
Okay, so let's go to the next. Paragraph 3. Voting in the EC on the matters listed in section IVF, all EC votes called by the chair must be responded within 7 days. Regional representatives who fail to vote within the time limit 3 times in a row are considered to have resigned their office as per section 7 below. Ken says this is general provision applicable to all EC members. It should be moved to section F or where EC procedures and governing rules are discussed, which is section 8. Which is, okay, so he's saying it should be moved. So he's saying that these are like, this is either duties. So instead of F, he actually, at the moment with the structure that we have now, it's G. So he's saying let's move this to G because it's one of their duties and it should be moved to section F or where EC procedures and governing rules are discussed, which is section 8, down there. Let me see if this change makes sense. What? No, I don't think this can be moved to section 8. Section 8 is about empowered community. I don't know if he's noticed that. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a confusion here. If we are actually Rafiq, that is a good, that is a very good observation. That is why I think, that is why I think that, I think that is why Ken got, I think that is why Ken got confused. So I think we just keep this here, but we have to address what you are raising. If we are saying empowered community, we are saying we are calling empowered community EC and we are calling executive committee EC too, then that's going to be source of a confusion. So let me just quickly look at the empowered community. So, okay. Yes. I agree, but I don't see empowered community as EC here. I don't see it in section 8, so I don't know why Ken thinks that. Okay. Right. So what we could do, this number. Okay. Okay, so I think what we need to have, this is the responsibilities of, I think this is the right section to, for this to be here. I don't think we need to move it. I am talking about paragraph 3. I just said we don't need to move this. It is the right section. Sorry about the confusion. It was not entirely my fault. Okay, so let's go to paragraph 4. Attend EC meeting. Regional representatives who fail to attend more than 3 meetings. Okay, so we discussed this. If this constraint applies to all EC meetings, then it should be moved. No. Okay, so this is the same. Comments, which I'm going to respond to, and I'm going to say this is the right section for EC responsibilities. Okay, Rafiq, thank you. So I have, it seems like I didn't know this guy, guys, because apparently there is another meeting, and I wanted initially to be this call for like an hour and a half, but we might have to leave, which is fine. We have done onto page number 9, which is not much, but it's okay. So, let's go to paragraph 5. Ensure that members from the region, are made aware of and responsible for comments. Ken is asking, are NCUC affiliates known by both their organization name and region? Yes. Yes, and there is a dedicated regional mailing list. No mailing list for the members. Okay, so on the and top and so if you're on page 9, we have page 6, with paragraph 6. If an EC member consistently fails to meet her responsibility, assuming that this provision applies to all EC members, oh, it's again another one. So I am going to make the similar arguments that we think this fits this section. In this process. Okay. Right. So, Maryam, do we have another 4 minutes? Okay, so let's go to G, hold official meetings. What determines whether an EC meeting is official? So you see, this is like detail that we can describe it in our procedural rules. No, he doesn't want to delete official. He wants us to say what official means. Well, we call official EC meetings are the ones that are transcribed and recorded, and there is some kind of record of it somewhere, and I'd call that official. But this is not something for the bylaws to say. But let's clarify, yeah. Hold official meetings which are transcribed and recorded. Okay. Then paragraph 2. Okay. Okay, so then paragraph 2 is establish, maintain, and support procedure, policies, and governing rules concerning the management operation of the constituency. So what Ken is suggesting is to replace revise and change with maintain and support. Now, I think that the executive committee has the power to revise and change. I don't think you should accept this change. So we have to be able to revise and change procedures and governing rules, procedures, policy, and governing rules concerning the management and operation of the constituency. I don't understand what you said. Okay. So I'm just going to say I don't agree with this role change, so we don't agree. So we all don't agree with this role change. This is a role change. You see which we don't agree. Okay. Okay. So now, Maryam, how much time do we have? We don't have any time, do we? Oh, Maryam, do you have to support the other meeting? That is the problem. They have to support the other meeting. Okay, so is it possible for you to just make me a presenter? Do we have to have a host? Okay, yeah, just make me a presenter. And thank you very much for your help. So if you leave now, it would be okay, right? Okay. Oh. You can't leave the meeting. Okay, cool. Okay. So, guys, we can continue our meeting, but I don't think we have bandwidth more than an hour and a half. If you have to leave, please feel free to leave. Yeah, I do have another call as well at 10, but let's continue working on this until we actually get it somewhere. So now I have not accepted the change on paragraph G2. Then he's asking if the EC is start reviewing the procedural rules, is there a date for finishing it? And okay, that's good. That's actually fine. We can do a lot of things with three people, Tatiana. So the on G2 it says if is required to start reviewing the procedural rules that need to be established and revised. And I added and finish reviewing by end of their term. So I gave them a good opportunity, like for a year they can revise, but they should finish it by the end of their term. And if they're running for the election, if they don't finish it, then they probably won't get elected.
Farzi, I'm sorry. Yeah. This is Sonia. I'm puzzled with this. So you mean that every executive committee, just after being elected, revises the procedural rules again just for themselves, and then they revise it by the end of the term, like, for example, one day before the term ends? And then the newly elected committee should again revise the bloody rules?
They started when they decide that something needs revision.
You say is required to start reviewing.
No.
It's in the bylaw. That's how I read it. Is required to start reviewing the procedural rules.
No, that need to be established and revised.
If the EC says, okay, we don't want to revise or review, or we don't see any need, so they don't review them.
Yeah. And then we will tell the members to just have a riot against them.
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of, you know, so the old EC is gone. The new EC should actually revise things that probably have been revised till the end of the previous term. I'm fine, but this is just, you know, a bit puzzling. It's just like an endless task which kind of required. Why is it required? Maybe everyone is happy.
So the thing is that so I tell you why this is actually even there. Because when we were drafting the bylaws, Matthew Shears, I remember clearly, he said that if the EC is supposed to establish procedural rules or revise them, there has to be a time limit for them to start it. We have to like oblige them to do this task. How do we do that? We put a time limit. So we put a 6-month time limit. Then now Ken says, okay, so there should be an ending time too, which makes sense. But then the problem here is the wording of this bylaw that says is required to start reviewing, is required by who? What's required them to start reviewing? That need to be established and revised. Who decides this need? Maybe there are some other provisions down there. But so are you suggesting that we don't have an end time or maybe like have a like a specific end time. But if we have an specific
no, it's okay. It's okay have an end time. It's okay have an end time. This is very valid comment. Finish reviewing by the end of the term, or don't start. You know, you cannot finish if you decide to review one day before the end of your term. Just don't start. I also understand required by whom, not by whom, by the bylaws. It's okay. What puzzles me in this provision is its actual usefulness, you know, because I am questioning the actual usefulness of this. But as the bylaw has been already passed, I cannot question it, so close my case. It's fine to add finish reviewing by the end of the term.
Yeah, okay. So this is kind of like enforce this thing. So I'm going to keep this, but we can also discuss it. Let me just put this as an action item as well. I think it's relevant. Okay, approve all election ballots online. I think this is a good addition. Review and approve by voting the budgets and expenditures submitted by the chair. He says that replace the constituency with NCUC. Oh, no. Sorry, I'm reading another comment. He says that on paragraph 5 that we should say NCUC. We should say NCUC, we shouldn't say constituency. That's fine. I don't mind that. I think we don't mind that, right? Okay. Appointing. Okay, so fortunately, it hasn't said anything here. Now, let's look at. Now, appoint NCUC representatives to the ICANN nominating committee by majority vote with at least 4 members voting. Ken says there are 8 EC members according to section 4B. Does 4 constitute a minimum quorum for all EC votes for these special appointments? If it is a general constraint, then it should be stipulated earlier in this section. So okay, so I don't know why he thinks that there are 8 members.
I know why, because we list treasurer and so on as EC members, so he just counted. So instead of writing here, wait, what he really misses here, I think, is that we are talking about regional EC representatives and not the whole EC. And this is why his comment is invalid. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's the whole EC. So he just went up and counted everyone we listed in the EC. So he thinks that they all should be voting, which is fine, I mean, from the interpretation.
I see. Yeah, but so they are non-voting, like treasurer doesn't vote.
Do we list it somewhere?
So that treasurer doesn't vote?
Exactly.
I'm not have to look at it. So let me point this down. Put this down.
Because she really makes good comments, actually.
But the thing is that, so four is actually what he's asking is, does 4 constitute a minimum quorum for all EC votes or for only for these special appointments? And of course, it is for only for these special appointments. Because these are like the, these are the appointments that are very they are important. But this is something that I'm going to look at, and I'm going to also ask Rafiq more information about like how we do things. So this, I will ask about this, and I will ask about a chair as the non-voting, as a non-voting member of the EC. And so let's go. Let me assign this to myself. How do I assign? Where is this cool feature? I'm gonna. This. Yeah, Renata, he's mistaken. There are no EC members. It's because, as Tanya said, we have listed others others as EC members. He thinks that. To look at this, okay. Now, let's go to his next comment, which says, what constitutes bad action? Fill temporary vacancy per Section 7, the chair position, oversee election as appropriate for the chair or regional EC representatives for bad action or non-participation. So, he wants to know what bad action is. Should we say it batch bad actions here? We have.
I have a suggestion, Carson. What about? Oh, sorry. Violation
go ahead,
of expected standards of behavior. Right. Would this be bad actions or not?
Sorry.
Yeah, I can standard of behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because other than that, it should be non-participation, right?
Exactly. Oh, thank you. Someone is writing it. Okay, great. So then we have challenging EC decision. He wants to he says that Request for review shall be submitted to the NCUC Executive Committee by at least 15 NCUC members with organizational and individual members, counting as one each. So instead of saying counting as one member each, he says get rid of members, say counting as one each. I think this kind of obscures our language. It's better to have members there, to be honest. What do you think?
I don't see much difference for the, but well, we can just leave the text as we have it.
Yeah, we just keep it as it is because
it's just a comment. It's not.
Yeah. Okay, we keep it there for sake of clarity, we will not remove. Okay, now we have the, if after consideration of any documentation and reasoning provided by those requesting review, so Ken is saying rationale should replace reasoning.
Do
This is basically me speaking. I like reasoning more, but, well, if native speaker thinks that rational is better, well, let's keep it as a rational.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, to be honest, I think if you think a little bit like in legal terms, you are providing reasoning. Reasoning, like, you're providing
I agree with you that reasoning is more of a legal term. Rational is something different. Rational does not necessarily, means like reasoned argument, because rational can be, I don't like you, you know what I mean? It's also rational, but I don't like you is not a reasoning, you know what I mean? Right?
So basically, rationale is why I'm doing this. It's not, it's like a broad, general thing that why, like, what is the rationale behind this? But reasoning
exactly.
is more concrete. So,
yes, reasoning,
so
you have to bring up the argument. Because rational can be, I don't like this decision, but I don't like this decision can be reasoning. So let's
okay.
keep reasoning and delete rational.
We would like to keep this word as is, since it is clear. Keep reasoning. Okay. And then he says, the NCUCEC and those making the request for review should attempt to negotiate a mutually agreeable solution within 10 days. Now, Ken says, shouldn't this timing match what is stated in the next paragraph? 30 days. So an appeal against, so the next paragraph says, an appeal against the executive committee decisions shall be launched if the NCUCEC and those making the request for review cannot reach a mutually acceptable agreement on the decision within 30 days. Oh, in this case, those making the request shall start the process of the appeal within 10 days. So, seems like he is right. No, but he isn't, because they want to mutually, is he? Yeah, he is actually right. He is right, yeah. So if he is saying that if the NCUCEC and those making the request for review cannot reach a mutual agreement on the decision within 30 days, which should be within 10 days. Yeah, that's true. We drafted this together. I think we had something in mind. So mutually agreeable solution within 10 days, and then if that mutually agreeable solution Yeah. Okay. So do we want to keep this time limit as 10 days or 30 days? 10 days, yes.
We don't want things to be hanging in the air, so it's better to replace 30 with 10.
Okay. In this case, those making the request shall start the process. Right. We change to 10 days. Thank you. Okay. So, if an appeal is launched, a vote of NCUC membership on the appeal will be scheduled no later than 60 days after the appeal is made. So Ken says, why such a long period after the appeal is launched? It looks like T-Stars request for review, T plus 10, EC response, T plus 40 negotiation period start, T plus 50 appeal launch, vote scheduled after 110 days. So he's right, more than 4 months. So if we change that, so 10 days to reach a solution, 10 days to make an appeal, 20 days, and 20 days, and then altogether is going to be 80 days.
Sounds right to me.
Think? Yeah. It will be 80 days in total. 80 to 90 days. Right. With the change to... okay. Now, let's go to outcome of the appeal. So he's saying that we should are we going to accept his, all right, yeah, an appeal against the NCUC Executive Committee. We had appeals before. I think that's okay. So I just did that. Okay, so let's go to paragraph 3. Approval of the outcome of the appeal. So Ken says that we had the approval of the appeal. Ken says that it shouldn't be approval of the appeal. It should be outcome of the appeal. What do you think, Tatiana, since we wrote this together?
Sorry, with this iPhone, it's very hard to unmute myself. I don't see the difference. We can live with the outcome of the appeal. The only thing which I dislike about this is that this chapter is no. It's actually not only about approval; it's the outcome as well. Because we say that after the appeal is approved, the EC must take all necessary steps. Let's change to outcome. It doesn't strike me as a change I would reject.
Oh, okay, I accept that. Oh my God, I can put the action items here, guys. Isn't that fancy? Okay, so for the appeal to succeed, 6% of all the active NCC members must vote to approve the appeal in a full membership vote as prescribed in Section 6. He is saying we should get rid of in a full membership vote.
Probably what he means is that if we are saying that 60% of all active NCUC members must vote to approve it, it already means full membership vote, because we are referring to 60% of all active NCUC members. I'm not sure about prescribe. I would rather left defined as defined in the Section 6 instead of prescribed. Other than that, I think it's okay, because once we are referring to 60% of active NCC members, we do mean full membership vote.
Okay, I just did that. I just did what you said. If the appeal is approved, the NCUC-EC might might take all necessary steps to reverse its challenge decision. So basically, he's saying we had the NCUC-EC must reverse its challenge decision within 7 days. He's saying that we should take all necessary steps to reverse. This is, well, it kind of makes it weaker because we are saying that you must reverse it within 7 days. But he's adding this, take all necessary steps.
I remember when we were drafting this, we were actually arguing about this because I believe that maybe some decisions would be hard to reverse, you know what I mean? So you just say, well, you know, we did everything, we did this and that, but some of the parts we cannot reverse. You know, things already done.
Okay,
no?
So what he has done really, he has a kind of combined these two sentences in this paragraph. You see the last paragraph, the last sentence that he's removed? Because the last sentence says, if the reversal decision requires any execution, the NCUC-EC shall take all the necessary efforts to execute the reversal within 7 days. So...
Oh, yeah, he combined it. He combined it. We can accept or we can just leave it as we had. I mean, he just made it shorter.
Yeah, it's just a beautification. Let me just say, two things are original. Oh, Renata says we should accept it. I wonder if we should because, well, I think we could accept it.
I also wonder if we should, but I mean, Renata would be my voice of reason here because we drafted this section and further we cannot really, you know, have an honest look at it. So, I mean, come on, it took us a few hours to draft it. So... the point is that I think Renata is right. It is a wordy thing, and he actually shortened it, as I said already. So we can accept. It doesn't change the meaning much.
Yeah, let's do that then. Right. Okay. Let's take my... Right. Okay, right. Cool. Now, let's have this paragraph at the last paragraph, paragraph 4. Execution of the challenge decision. A decision that is challenged under procedures described in this section shall not be executed until the review or appeal process is finalized unless the circumstances require immediate execution of the decision. Well, I don't know. Yeah, he doesn't provide where does he provide reasoning? Does he provide? Oh, yeah, he does. The last provision appears unnecessary, and given the extended time frame involved, there is nothing immediate about it. Perhaps there should be some fast-track process in the event that the initial review request is perceived to have urgent implications. So we don't accept this because, first of all, our framework is not to lengthy now, and second of all, we also don't think that we should get rid of this, and we have a relatively quick process for appeals.
I think the rationale behind this paragraph was a bit different. So
it was said that the decision is kind of muted, you know. So you took this decision, you're not executing it unless if there is any appeal. But if this decision, in urgent circumstances, require immediate execution, like, for example, I don't know, giving financial support for traveling at the very last moment, and you already gave it, for example, right? You cannot reverse it right now. You cannot stop a person who already booked plane tickets to go somewhere, right? Or, I don't know, appointment of the policy committee member in the urgent circumstances. Someone is challenging the decision. So what are you doing if you need a policy committee member to vote tomorrow? I think this was for that kind of circumstances. The ones I named are actually kind of doubtful, but I'm sure there are some decisions which require immediate execution. And you cannot, you know, reverse the execution. You can appeal against them, but some of them are not mutable, you know what I mean? And this is why we need this paragraph. Because otherwise, we are just like, what are we doing in this sense? Do we have to mute any decision and put on hold which is challenged, or there are some urgent circumstances which still require EC to act upon the decision taken?
So it's like a default judgment. So what I'm going to say here is that appears unnecessary, and given the I'm going to just explain this and say we are not going to get rid of this. Okay, I'm just going to explain something here. Maybe he got confused because of the title, which says execution of the challenge decision. Maybe he thinks that we are talking about execution of the outcome. It sounds to me. So maybe we come up with a better title for this, execution of.
Yes, we can say. How do you say wait? How do you say put it on hold?
There's the interim. We can call it interim. Interim decision. I don't know.
No, it's blackout for the challenge decision or something like this. No. Give me a better word.
Okay, I'm just going to tell. So maybe I assign this to you. And then Tatiana, you can just come up with
it. I'll try to find it.
I'm gonna put this. Okay, so we are good now. Tatiana, have you seen what you've written on the Google Doc? Okay. So.
Yeah, I've seen it. I know the Russian word, but I don't know the proper English word. This is why I wrote Russian.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Come up with a better title for this word, yes.
I wonder if you're going to come and hack us now. Right. Now, we have done until page 11, the vice chair. Thank you all. It was tiresome, but still we made quite a lot of progress. And I think if we do this tomorrow as well, we are not going to be able to finish it, but we are going to be able to, we have to have another meeting as well as tomorrow to wrap things up. one or two more. So we are going to have in total three more meetings. So thank you very much. I'm going to tell Mariam that, it's been taking us like, he's been sending these comments since December, and we've been just having meetings and working on them. So hopefully we are going to be done with this and get them approved. Thank you, everyone, and see you tomorrow.